Thank you for choosing to listen to our sermon podcast. My name is Chris Mitchell. I'm one of the pastors here at First Covenant Church of Anchorage. If you have any questions or prayer requests, feel free to stop by or send an email to office@anchoragefirstcovenant.com. God bless.
Well, so glad to be with you this morning. We have been in a sermon series called Belong, and this is week three of the series. Pastor Chris has taken us through the first two, and he's mentioned that this is a series that actually the denomination, the Evangelical Covenant Church, has made available to churches to use in a variety of settings. Typically in the past, we've used this information in like a new members class. But as we've been talking as a staff, with all the disconnection that's happened through the last year and a half because of COVID and not meeting and our church dynamics changing and new people coming and some people going and some people online, we just really felt like a review of who we are together. And look at it from the big angle. So the first week we talked about the mission of God for all believers. And then last week, Pastor Chris talked more specifically about some of the distinctives and the unique call of the Evangelical Covenant Church, our denomination that we're a part of. And this week, the title of our sermon is Belong, the Mission of Our Church. And so we're really looking more closely and specifically at First Covenant Church this morning. I don't know how many of you grew up or with your kids watched Mr. Rogers, the TV show. There were like 1,400 episodes over about 26 years. So I think most of us have had some exposure to the Mr. Rogers show. One of my favorite things when I was a kid watching Mr. Rogers, besides guessing what color sweater he was going to put on each week, was when he would take us on a little tour, a behind-the-scenes look at maybe a toothbrush factory or how movies are made or all these just like little field trips that we would go on, and we got a behind-the-scenes look. Well, today we're going to be doing that and looking specifically more though at our church, a little behind the scenes. Who are we and who have we been? When I look out here, I see people that have been here from almost the very beginning. In the 1960s, and others who have joined us in just the last few years. And maybe even this is your first time here at First Covenant. And so we have quite a range. But today we're going to look at our church and what does it mean to belong here at First Covenant Church. Now, one of the things that we've been doing during this series is that we've been having a time for a discussion question. And so we have been taking a question and talking about it with someone in our church. And so we're going to do that again today. And so there are two questions that you can choose from, all right? So the first question is to describe a time when you had the opportunity to go behind the scenes or maybe backstage, or you took a tour to give you an in-depth view of a place or event. This last weekend, I was in Nashville visiting my brother and celebrating my mom's 75th birthday. And we went to a little town in Franklin, Tennessee, that was dead in the center of the bloodiest Civil War battle in the whole Civil War. And we got a tour through this house that was built in the 1800s and heard all kinds of stories. And I had no idea this little house would have so many stories around it. That was just very recent, a very in-depth view of something I wasn't aware of. So that's one question. Or you could talk about what drew you initially to come to First Covenant Church, whenever that was, and what has blessed you or encouraged you as you've stayed here. Okay, so you can pick one. You don't have to answer both. And this is my challenge this morning as we talk. I want to encourage you to go across the aisle this morning. Look across the aisle and find someone, if you can, that's on the other side to share your question with. So you might need to move a little bit. We're all masked, and so we can, you know, keep our distance as well. But I want to give you a few minutes to discuss those questions, and then we'll come back together. All right, go.
I don't
And yes, introduce yourself too, if you don't know each other. Make sure you introduce yourself. All right, take about one more minute. Okay. Let's make our way. I know for some of you, this is like the worst thing to have to come to church and go and talk to someone that you don't know. Your introverted self just really doesn't like this. And we don't do this every Sunday, but thank you for participating. And hopefully you got to know something about maybe someone you already knew, met someone new, or learned a little bit more of someone's story. So as I was preparing for this sermon, I really feel like God just gifted me with something. I mean, I went on I wasn't planning to preach this week. I wasn't going to preach next week, so we're switching around our services and the sermons, and I was just kind of thumbing through our website, which is very outdated and needs lots of updates, but I came across this little attachment, a PDF that was hidden in the news section, which I didn't even know what was in the news section, and it is the booklet called Thanking God for 50 Years. So when we had our 50th anniversary, some of those of you who were here 10 years ago, this little booklet was published. And oh my goodness, it is just full of rich testimonies and listings of staff. In fact, I was looking through all the staff over the years and found out that Miss Anna Walters here on the front row, used to be the youth director here. I had no idea, right? So there was so much history. And of course, Adam was formerly on staff. And Lillian has a testimony here about how she came to the church. And so it was just this really beautiful tour for me through the history. And throughout my sermon, I'm going to read an entry in sections that was written by Jan Jones. So Jan is usually joining us online. And I haven't told her that I'm going to read this, but I really feel like her testimony here, she was here from the way back in the 1960s, just as this church was, the building was actually first opening, and she's been here ever since. And so she has a really beautiful perspective of being a part of this body over decades and how that's meant to her. And so I'm going to read parts of that as we go. And so I'm just going to start with the first introduction here. And it says, every so often, I run into someone who used to come to our church. And invariably, they'll ask, do you still go to that same church? As if implying, and how quaint if you do. So I want to write this to not just give witness to my faith, but of why we came and have remained committed to this church that I wish to explain. She goes on to explain that she was raised in a small rural church where she says the way of faith, where she came to faith at age 5. And she says it was in a denomination that was long on hellfire and brimstone, rules and regulations, but it was in a community of believers that was loving, nurturing, and interested in her. And she says that when she was in college, we joined campus groups, a campus group called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. The most of our friends attended other denominations, but their lives demonstrated the reality of their faith. And she says all this to say that Warren and I knew when we arrived in Anchorage in 1963, we needed a church to support, ground, and nurture us and our 4 children as we began our lives here. So that's the intro, and I'll be reading some more from this later. So we're going to look, not just at our church, we're going to get there, but first we're going to look at what does Scripture tell us, show us, the plan, God's idea for us as believers joining together as a church. Now, it's been a little over 2,000 years, about 2,000 years, since the early church, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, began to form. They were called the Way at the time. And they were trying to figure it out. And so, you know, Scripture doesn't really give us like a blueprint or like a list, a checklist. The church isn't a box store. You know what I mean by a box store? Like if you go into or a restaurant, if you go into Subway, the Subway restaurant, pretty much anywhere you go, and there's a Subway restaurant, it's going to look very, very similar. It's laid out the same. They have the exact same kind of food, the same offerings, the same menu. But the church isn't just the same anywhere we go. And we've known this. If you've been a part of any other church, you know that church in general, we can be believers in Christ, and yet our worship styles, our thoughts, our ideas, our understandings are different and very diverse. But Scripture does give us some images. Jesus gives us images. Paul gives us some metaphors to help us understand. And it's really, as I was preparing for this, I was just really genius that in any culture, over thousands of years, these images make sense. Some more than others to all humans, but we can relate, we can understand. And some are really specific to the Jewish audience of the time. And so we're going to look at these briefly. And I just want you to think, take a minute and think, what images come to your mind that you remember Jesus talking about or Paul as to compare us as a church to? Take a minute to think, and then I'm going to show you some of the answers. Anybody want to call one out that comes to mind? An image that comes to mind? When you see these, you're going to be like, oh, yes, oh, yes. Some of you have probably already thought of them. Anyone want to venture? A body, okay, exactly, a body. Like a physical body with different members. Yeah? Any others? Yeah. Yeah, small and
expanded.
Yes. Thank you, Anna. Somebody else? All right. Let's go to the next slide. So these are some biblical images that we see in the New Testament to help us get an image of what our church, the local church, no matter where we are in the world, no matter what time we're living in, to have these qualities and some of the, as an example, to give us a vision. Less than like a blueprint or has to have this, 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 and this, one pastor, two this, eight deacons, a picture though of what we are. All right, so the first one I want to talk about is family, that we are a family. And the scriptures are not going to be up here on the screen, but I will be reading a few just as an example where we see this. See, in Luke 8, we see Jesus tell us when his mother and brothers wanted to see him and they were pressing on him, but he was busy with his ministry and people were kind of like, why aren't you going to talk to your mom and your brothers? He says, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put them into practice. He starts to redefine the family. Not that his mother and his brothers weren't important, they were, but that the family was being expanded and that his family was made up of those who were hearing God's word and putting him into practice. And in Galatians 4, 6, and 7, we hear Paul tell us that because you are his sons, speaking of the Lord, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. We have, as individuals, been adopted into the family of God through faith. And now, because of that, we are brothers and sisters with all who have the Lord has put his Spirit into. And in Hebrews 2, it says, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. We have been birthed. We have been adopted into God's family. And so we are a family. Another image is the flock. A flock of sheep for the Israel people. They were very familiar with shepherds and the flock. We've actually been talking about shepherds in downstairs in Children's Church. We've studied Psalm 23 and we've been looking over the parable of the lost sheep these last couple of weeks. But the flock, John 10 in verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So the Lord sees us all as his sheep and as the sheep of his flock. Together, our church is one unique organization of his flock, but the flock is much, much larger. In Acts 20:28, this is Paul's, just before he goes to Jerusalem to face trial and eventually die. He calls the leaders of Ephesus together, the churches to him. And this is what he says to them. His final charge to them is, keep watch yourself over yourselves and all of the flock, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And so here, as he's getting ready to go on, he's imparting that ministry of being a shepherd to the flock, to the leaders there in Ephesus. All right, the next one. And there, by the way, there are many more scriptures that I could read for each of these sections, but for time, I've only just picked a couple. The third, as Mandy said, is the body, a physical body, with a head and arms and legs and senses and all different functions. So in Ephesians 4:4-7, we see that it says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and through all. And then it says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So we're part of this larger body, but each one of us has our own grace. We have our own giftings and our own contribution to make. And it's different from our brothers and sisters, but it's nevertheless very, very important. And in Romans 12, we see that again, that it says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We all have different gifts according to the grace that's given to us. And again, in 1 Corinthians 12, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentiles or slave or free, and we were all given to the one Spirit. We were all given of the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of just one part, but of many. So we see this, this metaphor used very often, especially in Paul's writings. So the next three we can definitely relate to, but they're a little bit more specific and would have a little bit more understanding to our Jewish audience of the time. And one of them is the bride of Christ. Christ's bride. We know that Jesus Christ on earth was not married. He was single and celibate his whole life. But we, the church, are his bride, who he is preparing to meet him. In Revelation, it talks about the wedding feast of the Lamb. And so in Revelation 19:7, we see, then I heard what sounded, this is John, hearing what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. And then in parentheses it says, fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. So as we labor on this earth as individuals and as congregations, we are the bride of Christ. So he is preparing and making ready for that wonderful day when we will celebrate with him in glory. The temple and the priesthood. So you may be familiar that for centuries, the Jews worshiped in the temple. There were two. There was the first temple that was then destroyed by the Assyrians and then the Babylonians, and then rebuilt a second temple. in their time. And at the time, this is where people would go to confess their sins and to celebrate the feasts. And the Holy of Holies was where the Spirit of the Lord dwelled, behind a very thick tapestry curtain. Well, when Christ was resurrected, we know that the curtain was torn in half, and it was made known that the Spirit of God was now living among people, rather than just in that little place. And so, but he says that he uses that image of a temple. Now we are the temple. We are the temple where the Holy Spirit dwells in our bodies and also in our body, our larger body. And in 1 Peter 2:4, it says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, an offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we have a new image of a temple being built up, a building being built up, and we each are a stone. I've been to Israel, and I've seen some of those places where it makes so much more sense about these huge cornerstones, these huge, huge stones that were carved out to be in the corner of a building, and then stones piled on top of it and built it up. And so that is who we are as the body of Christ. We're being built up into a spiritual home. And we're a priesthood. Now, a lot of times we have all kinds of images of priests, but the priests in the Old Testament they were designated from the line of Aaron. And but now in Jesus, it's not just the family of Aaron that serves in ministry in God's people. The ministry has been given to all of us that call on Christ and have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. And in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Our ministry, and among other things, is to be sharing how God rescued us out of darkness into his wonderful light. But we also serve. In James, it tells us to confess our sins to one another that we may be healed. We serve as that priest we carry the weight. We carry the sins of people that share with us, and we go with them together to God, and we serve in that priestly. We don't have to sacrifice animals anymore because Christ was the final sacrifice for our atonement. But we still walk with people and are a bridge to the Lord on Christ's behalf. So these are the images that we have. So as we look at them and as we think about our church and who we are, we can go to the next slide. These images illustrate how the local church is to be a place of loving devotion to God, a relational place of protection and encouragement, and a place for developing our gifts for service with God, and a place that pursues God and God's priorities in the world. Okay, get my pages in order here. So we can go to the next slide. You may have noticed, if you've been coming, that we have some different banners up this week than the ones we've had for a while. And these banners, I believe made by Pam Markwood many years ago, is the mission statement of our church. How the founders of our church, I'm not sure when this was actually crafted most specifically, but this is the mission statement that we work under, that we pray through. It's on our wall outside there in the narthex. Our mission is to be God's caring family, reaching out to disciple a new generation for Christ, empowering them to serve. This is the concise statement that we are. And we are becoming, because we can always be growing. And as new people come, and as people go, and as we have different leadership, we start to experience and express this in different ways. And yes, there are seasons of church life that feel more full and others that feel lean. And I'd say with our COVID time in history, boy, has it ever been challenging to figure out how to be this with all the new circumstances we face. But as a staff and as a board and as a congregation, this is what we're striving for, to be this particular expression in our community, to be God's caring family. So I want to go now to just a little bit of our history, like how did we get to here? And some of you may not, I learned a lot in doing this little research project, so go ahead and go to the next slide, Wesley. All right, up there in the corner is a picture that I found in this little book of Mary and Job Kukucharuk. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly. They are the ones who began this church. They are the ones who first gathered people who had come from Western Alaska, villages who had been a part of the Covenant Church in our Western Alaska communities, living in Anchorage, maybe because for jobs, just the movement, the migration to the cities. But there was a group of people who had been worshiping in Covenant churches and villages who really needed a place to gather. And so Mary and Job opened their home and began inviting people to gather them in a home fellowship. I want to read from Jan's excerpt here. So the group began meeting in their home in 1958. By 1961, the congregation was officially organized, and the leaders of the denomination had been here, and they began meeting in a hotel. And then by 1964, the dedication of this building happened. So this is what Jan says. It happened that our first visit to First Covenant was only the second time the small congregation of 30 or 40 people had met in this building. It was really just an insulated shell, and we arrived to find the early birds in the basement sweeping up the sawdust, nails, and general debris of ongoing building and setting up folding chairs for congregants, of whom most were Eskimo. The original nucleus having formed in Job Kukucharuk's living room, some of you are related to them. Nellie David, Bessie Dalilek, Lily Savick, and Eben, the Ebens, Ketchatags, Komochuks, and Belinda Simons, my neighbor who became both friend and babysitter. Several families whose faith, leadership, and business skills would be needed in building this church had been asked to join our effort, much like our present effort to build a church in East Anchorage. So this is when Chugach Covenant Church was being planted. Most of those families, Barb Samuels, the Rotrups, Keys, and Clauses, had attended the Sand Lake Baptist Church. Paul B. Carlson was our missionary builder and co-pastor with Job. So that's a little bit of how we started. And one of the things that came up was that the C Street dedication, this church building was dedicated exactly 1 week before the great earthquake of 64. And yet it was able to stand and stay through that. Some of you may remember that our church didn't used to look like this. This used to be the back. And that was the front. It was switched. How many of you remember when the church was like that? Yeah. We come in this entrance over here. And then the area back there wasn't nearly as big. And the kitchen for like potlucks wasn't over there, but it was in the basement. In fact, I was working with Corinne this week. We were putting up a word thing on one of our, as a decoration on the area downstairs. And she was like, does this door fold down? Sure enough, it folds down. And there's two poles that used to go underneath it. And people would walk through for the potlucks in that kitchen downstairs. If you haven't been down there for a while, please feel free to go and look after church. You've been doing some updates downstairs, but some of those things are still there. The kitchen's still down there. Our AA groups use it a lot. But yeah, our church has been transformed. But there have been a few things that have been pretty, as we've been growing, that have been significantly identifiers for who our church is. Let me go to that next slide. So we are covenant. So Pastor Chris talked more specifically about this last week. And so if you missed that sermon, you can go to our podcast or the Facebook broadcast and watch it. So remember, we're a member church of the Evangelical Covenant Church. It's a national denomination headquartered in Chicago. And we are a member church of the Alaska Conference of the ECC. So the little house right across the street here is what houses the Alaska Conference office, which is the conference that helps serve and pastor all the different churches, the 19 churches in our state. And so we're a part of that local, more regional conference, and the denomination. And we are diverse. So we're multi-ethnic and we're multi-generational. I had a friend come, a gal who I knew in college, came to visit here about 5 years ago. She was here on a military assignment, and she reached out to me and said, "Hey, do you go to church?" I was like, "Sure, come to my church." And so she came here, and afterwards, we were talking, and she's from Southern Baptist background, and so, you know, our worship style was different, but she said, it's just such a beautiful thing. Like, you have all ages represented in your church. You have little babies and you have older people and everything in between. She said, "I've never been in a church like that before." And so it really is a beautiful diversity that we have, as well as the many different ethnic groups that are represented, you know, Yupik and Chupik and Athabaskan and Navajo and Norwegian and Swedish and all kinds of things, that we really are a beautiful mosaic here of many different ethnicities, and that's not the case in many congregations. We are also live all around the Anchorage area and Eagle River. We don't all live in the same neighborhood. We don't all live in the same type of homes. We have people who are homeless, and we have people that live on Hillside. We come together across socioeconomic divides to worship the Lord Jesus Christ together. And we also represent diverse political ideologies and theological frameworks. Chris has mentioned this many times from the pulpit, and we talk about it in our staff meetings, that we have such a diversity of thinking and ideas and thought. And that can get messy, right? And that can get challenging as we try to come together to understand one another, but it really is a beautiful thing. And we're so grateful for that. And we're also a hub and a host church. What I mean by hub is that just like this church began, its roots were from Western Alaska, people needing a place to gather here. We still serve the communities in rural Alaska. And people often are coming through. If they're in Anchorage, they come and visit us and are here. And this is like their Anchorage church. And it's always so good to see people as they come through. And we also, like Pastor Vince right now, is serving in Gallivan for 4 months. And we've, you know, commissioned him and blessed him to go and serve there in Gallivan, to serve that church, as he's felt like he's been called. And so we support them, and we support many other ministries that are happening around the state. And we also host two other congregations. You might not know this, but on about 2 o'clock in the Sunday afternoon, we have a Samoan church that worships here. The service is mainly in Samoan language. And then we also host the Moravian Church. They're not meeting right now because of COVID, but we do have a space for them, for the Moravian Church. And there are multiple 12-step programs, Alcoholic Anonymous, that meet in our church. And so when you go downstairs, you'll see that we have some of their literature and things up and around. We've been trying to work on coordinating that area so that it serves both of us well, for children and for their groups. So that's a little bit about what happens in this space throughout the week. All right, let's go to the next slide. This is our staff. We have Pastor Chris. He's our full-time lead pastor. I'm the associate pastor for family ministry. Vince Eben, associate pastor of evangelism and mission. And right now he's on assignment in Gallivan with his wife. Sarah Bender, our director of youth ministries. And then Rebecca Graham, our office assistant. So this is who is meeting and praying throughout the week and overseeing the ministry here. Let's go to the next slide. And we also have a board. So the way our church is structured is that we have the staff, and we're doing a lot of the day in and day out ministry, but we have a board of directors that helps guide our the vision. And we work together and we collaborate together to discern where God is leading. And they handle a lot of the decisions around finances or staffing and different things. And they meet about once a month, usually. And these are the people that currently are serving, with Lisa Oberly as our chair and Jonathan Castrell as our vice chair, and the other people. And you know, this board is diverse in some ways. It's diverse. We have married and singles. We have older and younger. But where our board is not currently diverse is in our ethnic representation. Currently, we have no Alaska Native or other Native representation on our board. And we have been praying that our board would come to a place to be more reflective of the population of our church. And so you'll see that those yellow, the yellow-colored seats and the pink seat that's vacant, the four yellows are people that will, their terms will be ending next year. Our annual meeting will be replacing them. And it is our prayer, it is our hope, it is our desire that God would be calling more from our Alaska Native community, for our Indigenous community, to fill those positions so that our board would be more reflective of who we are as a larger body. On my way here, as I was going through this sermon in my mind, I just started praying, Lord, put it on people's hearts. Call people so that we can be a better reflection of who we are. And we are so grateful for all who have served. And not that we only want an Alaska Native person, because God may be calling someone else to be on the board that's not Alaska Native. But it would be so much our heart that we'd be more reflective of who we are. All right, next slide. So here we are, back to our mission statement. And I want to read again from... kind of as a closing to read from Jan's message. They scooped us up, inviting us into their hearts and homes, as well as into the church fellowship. The idea of being part of birthing something new appealed to us. We love the cultural mix. The church needed us, and we needed them. And so we plunged into the craziness of doing things we'd never done before. Putting our share of bent nails into this place, teaching and leading groups, and in the process learned that the best sermons and the most effective witness are taught by shared lives. Later, when our teenage children seemed not to listen to us, their youth leaders had their ears. I once asked them whom they most admired. Instead of naming one of their peers, they, like myself, years before, named adults in our church. That should be instructive to all of us. Their large and lively youth group had an active schedule that kept them out of trouble and connected to truth and people of faith. In recent years, when Warren was diagnosed with and treated for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and undergoing chemotherapy, this church carried us on their prayers. So I've learned from experience what Scripture teaches us, that the Christian life is meant to be lived in community. I believe that one should commit themselves, as in marriage, to one another, for better or for worse, for that is how we learn forbearance and experience forgiving and being forgiven. Our own rough edges get knocked off, smoothed, and we become more like our Master. I saw this ministry available to my children and now to my grandchildren. It's what we commit ourselves to each time a child or adult is dedicated or baptized. We are a family. We care for each other. Do you pray with me? Lord God, we all come with a different experience from our time in this church, Lord, some long and some short, through seasons that felt full and vibrant and other seasons that felt lean and dry. And Lord, you have been with us through it all. And God, as we strive to be God's caring family, reaching out to disciple a new generation for Christ, empowering them to serve, Lord, we pray that you would quicken our heart to your Spirit. You are doing a new thing, and Lord, would you show us how we, as different members of your body, can contribute and give life and apply the grace that you've given us to build up this congregation, not just for our own goodness, though that is part of it, Lord, but that we might also be a light to our neighborhood, the community around us, Lord, that we would help to bring your kingdom here in Anchorage, as it is in heaven. And we thank you for the people that are sitting on the pew, in the rows with us, not pews anymore, across the aisles, Lord, in the back, online, watching this recorded later on. Father, we thank you for the people that you have drawn here. And God, we ask that you would bind us and unite us by your Holy Spirit. Even through difficult times, Lord, you walked this church through an earthquake and it stood. And so, Lord, as you walk us through this pandemic, Lord, may we stand, may we come through on the other side more committed, more connected, and more convinced of your mission and purpose for the world. Lord, may we love one another as we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.